I will say this. I don't think the Titans are taking Jeremiah Love anymore. I am moving off of that. That was something I had in my mock draft and felt like that was the pick. As we are now 4 days before it, I do not think the Titans are taking Jeremiah Love at four. I think the Titans are taking either one of the two following players. Sonny Styles, the linebacker out of Ohio State, or the Bailey Reese, who doesn't go there or is available. And then my third backstop would be Carnell Tate. Yeah.
Let's say, for argument's sake, they stick at three and take Jeremiah Love. What happens to Tennessee? Mm-hmm. I think people around the league believe that the Titans might not go pass rusher.
Do you also have to participate in it?
Sure. That's the game within the game. Yeah.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast live. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me as always, the managing editor of Titan Sized, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, the Yada Yada King, my co-host, Justin Mello. Happy Tuesday. We have a lot of reports to parse through. How is it going?
You didn't say the yada yada king with enough moxie there. I think you're tired this morning, but I'm doing well, doing well. He knows it's my favorite title, and he doesn't deliver it with moxie. I mean, what's he doing? Doing well, doing well. Tuesday morning, about, what are we, 50-something hours away from the NFL draft? 56, 57 hours away from the first round of the NFL draft? I'm bad at math, but I tried. I put my best foot forward there. It's been a crazy 24 hours, if you will. So lots of smoke screens, lots of stuff to kind of parse through today, if you will. And I'm excited to cover it all.
I've got us at about 57 hours and 9 minutes from the start of the NFL draft. I'm not sure if that's correct. Let us know in the chat. Yeah, I mean, look, you said I sound tired. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted by the rumor mill. I feel like I'm a hamster on a wheel chasing the piece of cheese. The piece of cheese is the real intel, and I'm just being spun around and around and around. I have no idea which way is up. And I think that is, it's our job today, Justin, to, look, we were going to do a 7-round mock draft. We're going to be live at 10:30 a.m. Central. We're obviously live right now. It's 9:51 if you're watching this back and you don't know that. We're not doing our 7-round mock drafts today because there's just too much going on. We're going to do it tomorrow. But today, we're going to parse through all the latest and determine what we believe and what we think is smoke. And then maybe we'll do some Titans-specific draft predictions later on. But I want to start with the Peter Schrager clip because I tweeted that clip out last night. Peter Schrager said that on the Schrager Hour podcast yesterday. The Adam Schefter clip that played afterwards was what he said on Monday morning on Get Up that set the world on fire. I found the clip of it, so I threw it in there. And then that third clip is Mike Borgonzi being asked first about, is it hard to tell this time of year, do you listen to information or do you just treat it all as smokescreen? And he answered the question. And then Paul Kaharsky asks, do you participate in it as well? And he says, sure, that's the game within the game. And the maniacal laugh coming out of that man with that music right after we just saw two clips that could easily be smokescreen. Justin, I'm having a hard time buying anything, but we'll talk about it today.
Yeah. Peter Schrager, Adam Schefter, I mean, it's kind of funny to me, like, you know, all these guys are, you know, quote unquote, so well connected, and you could form whatever opinion you want based on something that someone notable is saying, right? If you know what I mean. Like, I don't know if it's too early for me to get into this, but like Peter Schrager says, they're not taking Jeremiah Love, right? A bunch of people are saying they're taking, the Cardinals are taking Jeremiah Love at number three. Peter Schrager says Sonny Styles, first name out of his mouth. I think they're taking Sonny Styles. Easton Freeze, you know, goes on A to Z and says, I'm paraphrasing, I don't think they would take Sonny Styles over some of the other prospects. Tony Pauline, long-term veteran NFL draft analyst, says, I'm paraphrasing, a lot of people think they would take Sonny Styles over Jeremiah Love if both are available. So whatever you want to believe, it's kind of funny to me that someone notable out there is telling you it's okay to believe that thing, you are right. And then someone else is going to tell you, no, that's not, the opposite of that is true. This stuff is just all over the place.
Yeah, I think it is all over the place. And that to me points to more smokescreen than not. I think the thing I believe the most is that the Cardinals desperately want to move out of the third pick, and that by the time they're on the clock on Thursday night, they might even take a discount to do so, because I believe the Cardinals really want Ty Simpson. This is one that I am buying. And I believe that they want to take him by moving back up into the first round, get that fifth year option year that you get with a first round pick that you don't get with a second round pick. And they want a little bit of extra ammo to make that move back up into round one by trading out of the third overall pick. I also think that they would be perfectly happy to take Francis Malinoa. I know there's a concern about a herniated disc in his back, whatever. He reportedly cleared all medical rechecks that any teams had concerns about. So despite that issue lingering, that might make Arizona feel less comfortable taking him at three, and maybe they'd be more comfortable moving down and still trying to get him. So I think that the number one thing I believe most is that the Cardinals want to trade out of the pick. And I tweeted this out yesterday, Justin, my little like recap of what happened yesterday in the insider reporting world. Starts with the Cardinals, quote, if nobody wants to trade up to number three, we'll just take Jeremiah Love. We'll do it. Watch us. We'll do it. And the Titans are sitting there holding their cards across the table, and they're like, you know what? We'll call your bluff. We don't even want Jeremiah Love. Take him then. You want him at three? Take him at three. We're going to take Sonny Styles. And the Giants are sitting over there, and they're like, Sonny Styles. You know what? We don't actually want Sonny Styles either. So, Tennessee, if you want to take Styles at four, go for it, because we're not interested in Styles. We want Jordan Tyson at five. And it's just like a cascading snowball effect of, like, first the Jeremiah Love, Arizona wants Jeremiah Love report comes out, and then the next report is, oh, the Titans don't really want Jeremiah Love anymore. That's what I'm hearing. And then the next report is, I'm hearing now from everyone that the Giants don't actually want Sonny Styles. I think these are all smoke screens. I think every single one of these three reports is nonsense. It's not like these guys haven't been planning what they're going to do for months and talking to sources and giving a little bit of morsel here and there. People trying to figure it out, you know, not like a direct, like an off the record comment here and there at the combine, at the owners meetings. Those are the real nuggets of information. And we've already gotten all of those. And now it's draft week. And now teams they've had their final planning meeting, strategy meeting. They've put their strategies together about how they're going to attack this thing. And this is the execution of that. This week is the execution of that. So my number one, most strongest held belief is that, of course, the Titans want Jeremiah Love. The Titans love Jeremiah Love. We heard it in February. February 27th, Matthew Berry says it at the Combine as a rumor. It spreads like wildfire from there. The Titans love Love. You're not going to convince me now, the week of the draft, that they like went back to their we're not supposed to say war room, Justin, but I'm going to say it, back to their war room and said, you know what, actually, now that we've evaluated everybody, take Love out of there. We don't want him. Like, are you kidding me? I don't believe that for a second. And also, it's kind of my brand that to be on the Love train, so I kind of have to stick to it now. Like, I can't reverse course at this point, Justin. It's too late.
You definitely got to continue driving the bus. And speaking of driving, thank you, Kevin, for putting us on while driving, risking multiple driving citations. We appreciate the commitment while watching MCA. I think he's watching MCA on YouTube. He's not just listening. He's watching us instead of watching the road. I love
that. Eyes on the road, Kevin.
Did I get to break out some Portuguese? Greetings from Brazil, says the Thunder said, bom dia, me amigo, me familia. Bom dia, me amigo. We appreciate that. Risking the lives of fellow drivers, says Kitty Cat Jones. He's in too deep, is what we're saying. Yeah, Kevin says he's watching both. I think the Titans still like Jeremiah Love, too. I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, I doubt they hate him all of a sudden. Like, I think they like him. I'll say this. You seem to still think, do you still think they would take him over one of the pass rushers? I don't actually even know if you think that, because you've sort of.
No, I think like, if I had to guess what the Titans board looks like, I think David Bailey's number one. This is speculation, pure. I think David Bailey's number one. I think there would be a real debate. They've settled this. They're not, like, going to have a toss-up on draft night. But to me, it's a toss-up at two between Arvell Reese and, obviously, Jeremiah Love. I think that there's a real conversation to be had about, you know, David Bailey's first step explosion, quickness off the line, all the stuff you were saying yesterday. Like, are all the concerns we have about him, maybe, like, we're weighing those too highly and he has enough, he's good enough at one or two things that that will carry him and make him a productive NFL pass rusher? I think they believe that. So I think they have him number one. I think the Reese projection is a little bit harder, but I think they would like him very much. And I think he's probably neck and neck with Love. And then I think you have a grouping of other players like Sonny Styles, Carnell Tate, maybe even Francis Malinoa. Oh my goodness gracious.
Hit the thing.
Gary Soto with another $50 super chat. It's like if we go live, Gary's going to be here with a massive donation. We really appreciate you, Gary. Do not feel obligated to do this every time we go live, especially since we're going live every day this week. And we have a major announcement, Justin. We'll get to it in a second. Big time announcement. You guys don't want to miss this. Yes, Gary says, who is pushing for Jets to draft Reese? Bailey seems like a perfect fit for them. I mean, this is crazy, is that, like, are we back to Bailey one day after we were 100% sure it would be Reese again? Like, who was it? Was it Schrager or somebody went on ESPN this morning? I think it was Schrager and was like, yeah, I'm going to put Bailey in my final mock. I'm back on Bailey. I'm going to stick with Reese at this point. I feel like the flip back scared the Jets. And they were like, wait, how do they know we're back on Reese? Get this back in the media. We're Bailey. We're all Bailey. We canceled the 30 visit because we had everything we needed. Darren Mougie speaking to the media yesterday. Oh, we don't need the 30 visit. Or was it today? Whatever. Mougie just spoke to the media today. Thank you. Today. I don't know. I don't know who's pushing for them to draft Reese, but I think they will.
Thank you so much, Gary, for the super chat. Your generosity is so appreciated. I am going to answer this question, of course, because Gary's the best. Gary Soto has Juan Soto money is a great comment by Jordan Pace. I don't know which one the Jets are going to take, right? Like, let's be honest. I don't know. I think the interesting question there is, I think most people agree Arvell Reese is the quote unquote, the higher upside prospect. Most people have him higher up on their prospect rankings because the upside is higher, as I guess I just said and repeated myself. But I do think there's something possible that this Jets staff could be a little bit worried, you know, red hot seat. Do they have time to develop a guy like that? Does that push them to David Bailey because he's more of a quote-unquote finished product, ready to, you know, be a more impactful pass rusher right away? I think that's a fair question. I think that's a debate that they're probably having. So I think, like, I mocked Arvell Reese at number two because I ultimately just lean towards they're probably going to take the better, you know, more exciting, higher upside prospect. But I think it's very possible if they're like, man, we might get fired, you know, if things don't go well this year. Let's get the guy that we're more confident that's going to help us right away. So we'll see.
I think it could go both ways because I don't think Mougie feels like his job is in jeopardy. I think Mougie's ultimately making the decisions. And I think Mougie should be.
Is it Mougie?
Mougie? Isn't it Mougie?
I don't know.
Pretty Mougie? Sure it's Mougie. No, I'm pretty sure it's Mougie. I think Mougie is thinking about life after Glenn. Like, or with Glenn. But he's not considering, oh, I got to win this year or I'm out. He's like, if we don't win this year, I'll get a new head coach. I don't care. So I'm going to take the guy with the highest long-term ceiling, see if this staff can develop him. They have some good position coaches, D-line coaches in New York right now. Let's see if they can develop him. If they can't develop him, it doesn't matter. We'll get this coaching staff out of here. The next staff coming in will have one of the best players from the 2026 draft class. I mean, they might view Bailey that way as well, but I don't. I don't view Bailey as a truly elite edge rusher. And did I say this yesterday, Justin? I can't remember now. If the Cardinals view Bailey as a truly elite edge rusher, bad teams don't pass on elite edge prospects when they don't have two good edge players. The Cardinals have Josh Sweat on one side and nobody on the other side. There are reports that Josh Sweat is not happy with the Cardinals. Who knows how much longer he's going to be a Cardinal? Is this his last year there? Who knows? If I'm the Cardinals and David Bailey's on the board and I view him as a Nick Bosa, Abdul Carter, Miles Garrett, pick your edge prospect coming out that was a true blue chip top two, top three pick, then I'm taking that guy at number three overall, and I'm not thinking twice about it because that's a foundational piece for a rebuilding team. If they don't view him that way, they won't take him, And it sounds like they don't view him that way because they would rather trade down. So I don't know. I'm not super high on David Bailey. I do think that he is going to be a top three pick, whether it's to the Cardinals at three or somebody coming up to three. But I still think the top three picks are going to be what we've been saying all along. Mendoza, Reese, Bailey, Bailey, Reese. Don't know what order. I don't think the Cardinals are seriously going to draft Jeremiah Love, but I think they want everyone to think that they would do that. And that's how I'm reading this situation.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Absolutely. I think where I land on this, and I keep going back and forth. I'm having a hard time with it. I tend to think that if one of those pass rushers is available, like Reese or Bailey at number four, because the Cardinals take Jeremiah Love at number three, or they take Francis Maiinoa at number three, if they trade out, it almost feels certain that someone's coming up for one of those pass rushers, right? So I can't really include that scenario. But if the Cardinals do anything else but take a pass rusher at three, I still tend to lean that the Titans would take one of the pass rushers over Jeremiah Love, that they would take David Bailey, and I'm including him in that, David Bailey or Arvell Reese over Jeremiah Love. I think the premium position thing, they're still not that good at edge. Like I think people are representing that. They're not very good at edge. They're just not. And it's a premium position and you get the discount on the contract and all that. So I still lean that they would take one of the edge rushers at four if available. The one thing that gives me a little pause from saying it with a sense of certainty is how much, Jeremiah Love is more an investment in Cam Ward and helps his development, right? Like that's the one thing that I think if they have the opportunity to take one of the pass rushers, I think that's the one thing that could give them a little pause. Well, it doesn't help our quarterback, right? And if both of them are gone, if things play out the way we think they're going to play out, David Bailey and Arvell Reese go 2 and 3 in some order. I do think the Titans will take Jeremiah Love at number four.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to guess today who knows what's going to change to now.
And Joshua is right here for sure. Like those edges, they're not as good as Jeremiah Love is at running back. I agree with that. I still tend to lean they would take the premium position, but this is on the side of the Love argument. A, Love is the better player, the better prospect. And B, he's an investment in offense, which in turn is an investment in Cam Ward. Those are the two arguments in favor of Jeremiah Love if one of the pass rushers is on the board at four.
And Schefter saying in that opening clip that teams around the league don't think the Titans would pass on a pass rusher. Give me a break. I don't buy that for half a second. This is an interesting comment from Big 2033. I don't see how, with how desperate the Cardinals are to trade out, that they let the biggest trade chip, David Bailey or Arvell Reese, whoever the Jets don't take,
good point.
Fall to the Titans. Great point. Like, why would they do that? Why would they just take Jeremiah Love and allow the Titans to get a trade back at maybe a slight, are the Cardinals asking too much? And they're like, I mean, I don't know. I guess
the pushback on that is if they end up stuck at three, what if they don't want a pass rusher?
The Cardinals?
Yeah.
Then that tells you everything you need to know about the edge rushers. That, I mean, at least in the Cardinals evaluation, that these guys are not blue chip difference makers.
Are they a model franchise? Do we have to agree with the Arizona Cardinals that
I think they've drafted pretty well under Austin Fort.
Okay.
I don't think the team has shown much for it, but it drafted Trey McBride, drafted Paris Johnson, who's a franchise left tackle, drafted, obviously, the Marvin Harrison Jr. pick sticks out right now as potentially not successful, but we'll see how that looks under new coaching.
No one saw that coming, though, right? Like, that was
right.
There was no other decision for them to make there.
We'll see how that is, how he does under a new coaching staff that's geared towards the offense. Yeah, and Dalen, this is what I agree with. The smokescreen part. Teams can call the Cardinals bluff on Love and wait it out and trade with teams picking, higher, like the fourth pick, a fifth pick. Like, no, I do think the Cardinals are going to take that. I think they're going to end up taking a trade. Justin, we got to take a break. We have a huge announcement to make. But really quick before that, my last point is you mentioned it towards the top of the show. Easton Freeze on the A to Z Sports show this morning talking about Sonny Styles, and he basically agrees with us and how we see the Titans board in terms of Styles being behind Love and the pass rushers. And like I listen to Easton when he says what he's feeling about how he thinks the Titans brass is thinking. So to me, like, all the stuff about Styles that's come out from every, like, how many different places did we hear that the Titans love Styles yesterday? A lot. All at the same time, all on the same day, feels pretty convenient. You take it, you compare that to what Mike Borgonzi said in Thursday's press conference last week. It sounded like he wants everyone to think they love Styles and that they love Reese. And then you come out on Monday and Adam Schefter's saying, oh, I think it could be Carnell Tate, Styles, or even Reese, right after saying it won't be a pass rusher, by the way. It'll be Reese. Like, maybe they view Reese as an off-ball linebacker. I don't think so. Schrager, it's going to be Tate or Styles or one of those edge rushers. Like, everybody's saying that at the same time on the same day that the Cardinals, everybody's saying that the Cardinals love at the same time on the same day. It's too convenient. I call BS. We can see through the smoke, Justin. We're like wading through the smoke, and it doesn't cloud our judgment or our vision. So that's how I feel. Okay, we will be right back with a major announcement and Titans draft predictions if you're listening to us on audio. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back, audio audience. Justin, the announcement is that my work schedule has changed. Your work schedule has not changed, so you still have stuff to do on Thursday night during the draft, but it won't preclude you from sitting in that chair with me here. And we'll be live. We are going to be live during round one when the Titans pick. We'll probably go live maybe at the start of the draft, maybe around pick two after because we know Mendoza's going one. Maybe we go live when the Jets come on the clock. We'll react to the Jets pick. We'll react to the Cardinals pick. And then you and I live will reveal and react to the Tennessee Titans' fourth overall pick. So we know you have a lot of options for live draft night coverage, whether it be something you're watching from home or some event you're attending in person. We know you have a lot of options. We'd love for you guys to choose us. And if you do, we'll see you there. And if you go somewhere else, then you know what? That's fine too. We'll just have to, it's just motivation for Justin and I to make the best show possible so that you choose us the next time.
Can't wait to be live with you on Thursday. Little nervous about what that looks like with all the duties that I have. But
I'll carry.
Try my best.
I'll throw the show on my back if I have to, Justin.
Raver's going to carry as I probably got to do some typing. But it'll be a hangout sesh. Laid-back hangout sesh. Excited to have you guys with us. Maybe I'll pour up an exotic beer and you guys will get to enjoy that with me. I haven't done that in a while on the pod. But Raver, you know what time it is.
Oh,
you
got to
hit the
gracious
thing.
Walmart man, $31,499. Last year, I got to watch the whole draft in the hospital while my wife was in labor. This year, my son will get to boo the commissioner with me. You know what? Congratulations on reaching a year with your lovely little, I don't know, I feel weird talking about somebody's baby, but congrats. And that's pretty cool. You got a draft birthday baby.
That's incredible, Walmart man. I'm going to take over because Graver is struggling here. A little selfish on your wife's part to go into labor when the Titans are going to take Cam Ward at number one overall. I mean, Jesus. But hey, that's neither here nor there. It's not my marriage, not my business. But I'm kidding. Congratulations. That's awesome. That's pretty cool that you got to watch the whole draft in late. Well, yes, your wife was in labor last year. And now this year, your son is one. It's the boo Roger Goodell. I hope your one-year-old son approves of the pick at number four overall.
Johnny Bucks just did a three-round draft on A to Z and took Reese at four. I mean, look, I'm not saying it's impossible and definitely not going to happen. I think it's possible. But I do want to make, Justin, some Titans-specific draft predictions, not just for round one. What's up?
Can I bring something up first, if you don't mind?
Absolutely.
Before we do the predictions. Connor Orr, who was on this show earlier this week, Sports Illustrated.
Last week, sorry.
It's early in the week still. Last week, claims to be your friend.
Yeah.
Claims to be your friend. In his latest mock draft, he's got the Titans trading out of four all the way down. You haven't seen it yet, so I'm breaking this.
I love it.
Oh, you love it?
Yeah, I love it.
Graver's just kissing butt for his friend. Not only does he say, not only do the Rams come up to get Jeremiah Love, Graver's claiming to love it. Titans trade out of the Jeremiah Love spot. The last line of his blurb, did you read the last line? The Titans get another trade chip for 2027. Titans got a haul in that deal. We should all love it. But the first of all, they trade out of the Love spot, which you shouldn't love. And the last line is they get another trade chip unless this, in case this staff decides Cam Ward is not the quarterback of the future.
I mean, that part is what it is. But the trade, let's be specific, that he has the Titans trading from number four down to number 13 with the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams get number four and number 101. The Titans get 13 in the first round, 61 at the, that's, what is that, the end of the second round? End of the second round, and 93 end of the third round, plus the kicker, the Rams 2027 first round pick. Now, let's be real, that's going to be a mid to late 20s, if not lower than that pick. But still, I will take the a pick at 27 in the 2027 draft over the pick at 12 in the 2026 draft. I mean, maybe that's too extreme, but that's the kind of talent drop-off or difference we're talking about here. I will do anything to have two 2027 first-round picks. Even throw this board behind me out the window. Jeremiah Love, no matter what. Jeremiah Love, no matter what, unless you can trade for a 2027 first-round pick and multiple extra picks on day two of this draft. At 13, you still get a very potentially difference-making player, a Mekhi Lemon, Mansoor Delane, Vega Ione. Like, there's a lot of guys
Ruben
that you could
Bain,
take.
You never know. I don't know.
Ruben Bain could fall. There's a lot of guys you could get at 13 that could come in and be an instant impact. Not as instant impact as Jeremiah Love, which is why Love's going to go top five in this draft. Or seven, I guess, at the very lowest. But still, like, I would take this trade all day. I'm a Titans fan at first. A Jeremiah Love fan second. I'm not crazy about how much I like Jeremiah Love. I wouldn't forego a haul like this one just to take Jeremiah Love at number four. Obviously, I believe Cam Ward is the guy, but two 2027 firsts, you might be able to maneuver and get Jeremiah Smith, which is a better Jeremiah than Jeremiah Love, okay?
Not wrong about that. Unlikely, but as Patrick points out, Graver's Love, no matter what, seems weaker every day. Shame. Call him out, Patrick. Let him know in the chat. Draft predictions?
Yeah, I think we should get to it. You want to kick us off? You want me to go first? I have one that I've talked about a few times, so it's not a secret. I can start with that if you want.
Go. I've got one too, but go nuts.
My prediction is that the Titans take two interior offensive linemen in the top five rounds of this draft. Now, they have two fifth-round picks. They have a first, second, third, fourth, and two fifths, right? So they have six picks in the top five rounds. And I think two of those picks will be used on offensive linemen, specifically interior offensive linemen. I think they're looking for one starter between two guys here. I think that they're either going to let Schlotman or Slater have one of the starting spots. I think they are going to draft somebody early enough that they feel comfortable slotting them in as a starter, letting them win a whatever battle with Cordell Volson in training camp, but eventually becoming the starter by week one. That's what I predict. I think that could be as early as pick 35. I think they could wait and go 142, 144 back to back. Let's take a couple shots on the offensive lineman in this range or any combination in between. I do think the Titans are going to be aggressive in targeting this position group, and that's my most confident Titans draft prediction.
I think the Titans, my prediction is that I think the Titans are going to, similar to you, I guess, but really prioritize the trenches. I still think an edge is in play there at number four, if one of those guys is on the board, Arvell Reese or David Bailey. And I am starting to think that at 35, you got a pretty good chance to get a really good right guard at 35, right? Like Chase Bisontis, Emmanuel Pregnon, and Keelan Rutledge. I wager at least two of those guys are probably going to be available at 35. So I wonder if that's where the Titans go. They know they need an instant starter there if they're not bringing back Kevin Zeitler. As Kevin Hammer asks in the chat, also predicting no Zeitler reunion. I mean, it feels – maybe we're getting impatient, but it feels like it's getting less likely by the day. Now, it's possible that the plan all along is, you know, after the draft, after an early portion of training camp, he wants to skip OTA, whatever it is. That still could very much be true. So I'm accounting for that, that maybe we're just getting impatient and bored of that conversation. But feels like every day that goes by is another day, right, away from the Kevin Zeitler reunion. So
and Easton recently
getting a right guard.
Easton recently reported on that front that he believed Zeitler would be back and now doesn't really believe it as strongly. Again, I listen to Easton on things like this. So if Easton's reporting that, then I'm also going to feel like maybe they don't re-sign Zeitler. So we'll see what happens there. What do you got as far as predictions?
Oh, that's the one that I gave, right? The first one that I gave. I think that they prioritize the trenches early. I think that 35th spot might be a good one to get an instant starter at guard because there are some good prospects that I think are going to go in that range. The other prediction I'll make, and it's not one that I want them to do, I don't think they're taking a receiver early. I think they might neglect, maybe the word neglect is harsh, but Calvin Ridley, Wandell Robinson, Shimure Dike, Alec Iomanner, Bryce Oliver. I think they feel pretty good about having those five receivers on the roster. Those are five receivers who are 53-man roster capable, right? So if they draft one, I mean, not the end-all, be-all Bryce Oliver, but you're bumping him down to sixth. Now he's firmly on the bubble. Maybe he doesn't make the team. What does it do to DK and Iomanner? Does that further reduce their roles? Might not be something they want to do, right, when they're trying to invest not only in Cam Ward, but also develop those receivers. So for me, I don't think they're going to go receiver early. I don't know if that's a bold prediction. I still want them to take a receiver and invest in Cam Ward, but I don't think they're going to.
I agree with that. I think there is a chance that Carnell Tate is in play at the top of the draft. I don't think he's going to be the pick at four, but if they do swing a trade down, I could see a receiver in the first round at some point, wherever they end up, being a target, depending on who's left on the board and all that. But I think if they don't take one in the first round, don't take one. Like, just don't take one. I was listening to Paul Kaharsky's podcast that he did with,
if Denzel Boston or Omar Cooper is there,
I don't think they are going to prioritize wide receiver at 35. I think they are going to have other guys at the top of their board unless Casey Concepcion somehow falls there. And that's the only guy I could see them deciding to throw out their positional whatevers. Atlas, every time Melo says Wandale over Wendell, an angel gains its wings. DP's predicting Love at 4, Pregnon at 35, Hurst at 66. He's not giving up that dream. I love that mock too. I don't think they would take Hurst at 66 though, because I'm with you on this prediction, which is that if you're not going to take a guy that's going to come in here and command serious attention and respect as a potential future wide receiver one, like Casey Concepcion, I was getting to that. I wanted to answer your prediction first. Like Casey Concepcion or, you know, Carnell Tate, Jordan Tyson, like that level of player, then why take one at all? And this is what I was listening. This is what Paul Kaharsky and Mike Herndon were saying on the Paul Kaharsky podcast last week, is that you bring a guy in like that, a Shimure Dike, Alec Iomanner level guy, you're probably not getting a whole lot of use out of them because you probably trust Bryce Oliver more on special teams out of the gate. So yes. Bryce Oliver's active on game day. So Ridley's obviously, Ridley and Wandale are definitely active on game day. Shim Dike is your all-pro returner. He's active on game day. Now it's between Alec Iomanner and the rookie for who else is active on game day. I mean, after the rookie season Alec Iomanner had, I don't see how, unless the rookie is incredible, I don't see how you bench Elik Iaemanur and make him inactive, or you have an extra receiver active on game. That's a lot. It just, the math doesn't work unless you are bringing somebody in that's going to be in that group with Wandale and Ridley at the top of your receiving core. And I don't necessarily think that they need to do that based on the construction of the room right now. I get it. They need to plan for the future. And Calvin Ridley, this has got to be his last year here. So you do need that future pick. But receivers can contribute as rookies fairly often that they could kick that problem to next year. I mean, we just saw them have two rookie receivers contribute a lot, right? So you could bring a guy in a year early, get a year ahead of your problem. That's what smart teams do. That's how good teams stay good. The Titans aren't a good team. They don't necessarily have that luxury to take a future need. Same thing goes with left tackle, right? This year, they got to take the best players they can take. At whatever position they are, just take the best players. So I'm with you. I don't think that they take a receiver before round four. And once you get to round four, like, what's the point, right? Should I hit the thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Hit the thing. I was waiting for you to hit the thing. Pseudo Marky, thank you very much for the generous $9.99 tip. He says, the Bane disrespect is getting out of hand. Bane over Bailey, 10 out of 10. I couldn't agree with you more, Pseudo Marky. And we appreciate the $10 tip for a 10 out of 10 comment. That goes hand in hand together. Because I personally like Reuben Bane better than David Bailey as a prospect. Graver likes Reuben Bane better than David Bailey as a prospect. Not to throw a wet towel on it, but do the Titans like Reuben Bane better than David Bailey as a prospect? I'm not convinced that they do, right? The arm length stuff and the way that Bailey fits the Robert Saleh defense in that wide nine pass rushing role, I doubt they agree with us, but me and Graver are on the same page as you. Really, really like Reuben Bane more so than David Bane.
Yeah. Here's an interesting question from Dalen. You taking Chris Bell if he's there at 66, though?
I would.
I don't think he's there at 66, but I would. I would do this.
You would.
Let him redshirt for a year or maybe only half the year he comes back.
Sorry.
And he's a potential wide receiver one. I mean, I don't know that he ever is that, but a potential one at least, you know. Lots of athleticism and playmaking.
Yeah, I'm a Chris Bell fan. I'd like that a lot. And I don't want to go back and look for it. You can if you'd like, but someone brought up a comment of how Stoney Keeley wrote a strong article about Carmen Brasillo targeting late round offensive linemen. You know, I reported earlier this week that they had a Jaeger Burton in for a top 30 visit. You know, the Kentucky guard slash center. He's played like 2,500 plus snaps on the interior. He's super athletic. He ran a 4.94 at the combine. I think it was the sixth fastest time or tied for sixth fastest among all linemen. Really good athletic guard slash center. I think he goes on day three. He's like a fourth, fifth round pick, in my opinion. He might be the Titans' day three target on the interior. You know, if they decide to wait that long. I saw a clip someone shared to me of the 49ers O-line coach. The guy responded to me smugly saying, because I had the 49ers taking an interior lineman in the first round of my mock. And someone responded to me who hated it with a clip of their O-line coach saying, take interior linemen late. You know, we believe in developing. You can develop and find interior linemen late. If the Titans adopt that strategy and don't take an interior guy early, that's on the table. Like, we're talking about guard early. Doesn't mean we're going to be right, right? Like, if they wait on a guard, I think Jaeger Burton makes so much. Jordan Pace, you put that in quotes, take a shot on Jaeger Burton. Oh, I guess I'm assuming you're making a tongue-in-cheek joke now that I see it. I was going to ask if Stoney said that in the article because I haven't gotten a chance to read the article. But really good point. Really good point.
I'll give another prediction, Justin. I think that the Titans will take a linebacker relatively early in this draft, round two, three, four, in that range. I think that there's going to be a guy they really want, whether it's Jacob Rodriguez, Kyle Lewis, Caleb Elams-Orr from TCU. Like, there's a ton of guys
like
in this class.
We had article on Titan-sized recently about Caleb Elams-Orr. I think he's more a fourth-round guy. I think what you just said goes, if they do it, it's Jacob Rodriguez at 35, it's Kyle Lewis at 66, or it's Caleb Elams-Orr at 101.
Yeah, I think that one of those – I mean, I would go as far as to say I think one of those three guys will be one of those three picks. But, you know, the Titans can maneuver around. Who knows whether they actually end up picking. But I really think that they are going to take a linebacker at some point to pair with Cedric Gray, who doesn't have to come in and start right away. He can sit behind Cody Barton or James Williams or whoever. I do think they want to target this position. I think they're going to be a pretty offense-heavy draft with interior linemen. I think they could also take a tackle along with two interior offensive linemen. I still think they're going to take Jeremiah Love. So that's obviously an offensive player. We talked about receiver. I don't know that they do that, but it wouldn't shock me. They've met with a lot of tight ends. So I could see them taking a tight end. But on the defensive side, I think they're definitely taking a linebacker. And the other position I would say I think they definitely take at some point is a nickelback/safety who can play big nickel type of player. And maybe that's Trayden Stukes at 35, Justin. Too high? Not so fast. Lots of reporting coming out this week that teams view him as a potential dark horse first round pick type of player. Maybe he's a target if you trade from 35 to like 48 or 51 or something in that range.
That's what's going to be so much fun about this draft is the Titans could really, really go in so many different directions. So many different directions. Like, they don't need a linebacker, right? They don't need a linebacker. They really don't, in my opinion. But it wouldn't shock me if they took Jacob Rodriguez at 35. I'm going to answer this question. It wouldn't shock me if they took Jacob Rodriguez at 35 if he's still available, because they might think he's the best player in the available at that spot in the draft. And then you look at how much that position matters in Robert Saleh's defense and his history. It wouldn't shock me. Trayden Stukes wouldn't shock me if they go nickel corner at some place there. By the way, like, I interview so many prospects. I've got some fun that I'm about to have. Daniel Caribbean, Mello, how do you feel about Jimmy Rolder and Tyshawn Elliott? I interviewed Jimmy Rolder, team high 74 tackles for Michigan this past year. Really stepped up when they gave him that starting role. I like Jimmy Rolder as like a late round interesting linebacker. Did I interview Tyshawn Elliott? No, I didn't. I did not interview Tyshawn Elliott. I'm trying to set it up still. Probably too late in the process. 98 tackles, I think, this past year for Arizona State. Was really violent and intentional downhill. Don't think he's he tested decently at the combine, but I didn't get the vibe that he's a top tier athlete on tape. So I think that's the question on Tyshawn Elliott. I interviewed Jalen Kilgore, really interesting safety. That's going to drop this weekend. Actually, I did so many interviews. I wanted to get them all out by Thursday and I can't. So I had to extend to Friday, Saturday, and get some day three interviews out before they get drafted on Friday, Saturday morning. Jalen Kilgore is going to drop on Friday morning. I did a great interview with him. And Daniel Caribbean, I did a great interview with Jaden Canady. As you know, I know you're a Ducks fan, a little biased, cooked up in this take, but I love Jaden Canady. It's not a biased take because I love him. I think he's going to be a steal on day three as a nickel. I think he's an NFL starting caliber nickel, and he's going on day three.
Justin, I hate to cut this off short because we love our audience and I love interacting with everybody, but I do need to run. The whole reason that we started this show when we did is because 10:30, I gotta go. So appreciate everybody getting on here with us this morning. Make sure you like the video, like the stream. Stay after the video ends here in a second and drop a comment below. What do you believe? What's smoke? What's real? Let us know your thoughts. Any predictions for the Titans on Thursday night or Friday or Saturday? Drop them in the comments again after the video ends. We appreciate all the engagement. Appreciate all the super chats. Thank you guys for being here, supporting the channel. We will be back again tomorrow live. 10:30 should work tomorrow. But keep an eye on our social media feeds.
Our regular scheduled time.
Right. Keep an eye on our social media feeds. If anything changes, we will announce it there. But or just turn on notifications on the YouTube channel and you'll get an alert when we go live. So that'll do it. We appreciate everybody again. You got a final word to say, Justin, before we say goodbye?
Get us to 6,500 subs. I think we're like five away. We're closing in on 6,500. Get us there before we go live tomorrow with our dueling mock drafts, a yearly tradition, annual tradition on Music City Audible. Dueling mock drafts. Excited to battle it out with Graver. Au revoir, Atlas, or what the Portuguese. He drops it in French. I love it. Until tomorrow, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
a Broadway Sports Media production.